Dad, be honest. Are you a podcaster?
Oh, man. Okay. This whole episode has been reframed for me where I was going to be like, Tony's putting Meadow through the same stuff he puts Carmelo through. He lies to his own benefit. But if I had to justify being a podcaster to my child, I'd lie as well. I can understand him now.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, you know, when, you know, you meet your partner's friends and they're like, what do you do? And I was always like, I'm a graphic designer.
Audio engineering.
I wasn't anymore.
Yep, because it's technically true.
Totally.
thanks for fucking my day up like that.
I was taking my daughter, you know, to look at some colleges, and while I was there, I saw a guy who used to, I think, host WTF.
Yeah. I saw one of the original Is This the Podcast crew, who I thought they were out.
I think, yeah. What's a show that doesn't exist anymore where fucking, yeah, we saw Murphy McLaughlin.
I had to go whack him. Episode, what are we up to? 5 of season 1, college.
Yes.
I loved this episode, just up top.
Interesting. This is, I kind of thought you'd be on the same page as me, but I found this maybe the least exciting and interesting of the season so far. It's also one of the most memorable. Like before we started this show and I was just thinking back over episodes, this one sticks out. I don't know why, but I also, in remembering it, pre-watching it, I had forgotten entirely the subplot about the rat and what Tony was doing. I just remembered them going to colleges and then the Carmella priest stuff.
So I really like the way that it advances Tony's family, other than Anthony, as characters here.
Right.
Meadow becomes more of a person and not just like a rebellious teen type of figure. And Carmella especially, getting to see her actual misgivings about what Tony does, her questioning the marriage that she's in herself, not just being the person trying to push Tony to fix it, you know, like she's maybe she's trying to push him to fix it that much because she's out as well, you know what
I mean? Totally, yeah. We've gotten to see her character heaps, obviously, but we haven't gotten to see her character's inner life much.
Right.
And, you know, what better way to get that than to have her hang out with a priest and confess over the course of an entire night?
Right, because you kind of get... it's like they're two very separate things that come together back at the end. And then seeing Tony and Carmella interact right at the end of this episode was... it really reminded me of how good they are as actors together, how good their chemistry is, because you get like this bottle episode of Carmella and the priest on the one hand, and then like a road trip episode with Tony and Meadow on the other side. Two very fun types of things to push characters into developing or doing something else or doing something interesting.
Right.
And I liked jumping between those two things for this week. So
yeah, interesting. Okay.
I guess we should just get into it. Yeah, it's like Meadow and Tony have gone off to look at some colleges. Like you said, they're coming out of, I don't know if people in America know which college is which. There's some jokes about Berkeley in the episode. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck Berkeley's deal is.
Well, all I know is that they were in New England, which is not a million miles away from New York State and New Jersey, I should say, I guess. Berkeley's in California, so I think... the issue is they don't want Meadow to go to the other side of the country.
I see.
New England is where a lot of the, you know, prestigious ones are. Massachusetts obviously has
Are they going to Maine as well? There's ads for Maine lobsters on the radio.
It must be. Is that nearby? I think it's all. This is all very geographically close. Yeah.
It's one or two states over. Sort of not far away enough. If you were a witness protection program guy,
right?
You might want to go a little further than next fucking state over.
Go to Berkeley.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. But then I guess, I don't know, if you got put into witness protection, you want to be like, I want to still be able to visit my family. I don't know. It does seem irresponsible.
So Tony is both visibly proud of Meadow and being like, hey, look at that, a college fucking student in The Sopranos. You'd have never thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also being like, what, you're telling me these college girls are loose? Yeah. Like, he's God. Still being himself about it and being how Tony is.
Yeah.
But it's all good. They're having a little, like, they're clearly bonding, and Meadow takes this opportunity to be like, they're sitting in the car after going to one of the first colleges, and Meadow just puts it out like, hey, you in the mafia.
Mm.
Tony's reaction is pretty funny, where he's like, what? No, that's an offensive stereotype. I'm in waste management, and it's not technically the mafia.
Yeah. I think the first thing he says is like, that the mafia doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, this is not fucking Santa Claus. Like, the mafia exists.
Yeah. I think, yeah. So they go back and forth over it, and she goes like, look at, I found guns and money at our house.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
yeah.
I know that your friend Dr. Cusimano also leaves home at 3 a.m. to go and fucking do some doctor shit, but you're in the mafia, Dad. It's obvious. Yeah. And so he comes clean and he explains, look, some of our money, yes, I definitely do legitimate business, and he's clearly proud of that. And right. I think he thinks he's telling her the truth as well. I don't think he's buttering it over, or whatever the actual phrase would be. Not buttering
it's
it
definitely
over.
Definitely buttering it over, yeah.
Sugarcoating, yeah. I guess, is what I'm thinking of. He's fattening it up a little bit.
He's adding some hundreds and thousands to this fairy bread.
But I think he is telling her genuinely how he views himself, where he's like, yes, some of the money comes from illegal gambling and whatnot, but I'm a businessman, and those are just some of the businesses that we're involved in.
And I think, I don't know if he says this now or later on, probably in the car, because he wouldn't say it in the restaurant, but he's like, for a long time, Italians were forced into this position. They weren't allowed into positions of power. They were, you know, businesses were not, you know, they were ghettoized. Like, there was issues with being an ethnic minority as an Italian in America. So I think he certainly has that ingrained culturally, that perspective of like, this is okay because we were treated like shit for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So he kind of tells her, look, Meadow, tell me how you feel about this. This is it. This is the truth. Are you okay with it? And she's like, hey, look, you know what? Yeah, I think it's okay. She tells him, like, don't dance around it. Don't skirt around. Don't mealy-mouth.
Yeah.
I get what you do, and I think I'm okay with it. So he's like, okay, I think my daughter thinks I'm a good person, even though I do the things I do. Anyway, cut to him calling his mistress. it doesn't give you a second to be like, oh yeah, maybe Tony's right. Maybe he does need to do this, and he's just looking out for his family. Oh no, he calls his mistress before his sick wife.
Oh yeah, and she's upset about something. Her sister's something. Someone got fucked over. She's not happy, and he's like, shut up, and hangs up on her, basically.
Like, someone, she came over after her, and she's already married, and Tony, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he's like,
that's
you understood what this was going in. She's like, yeah, well, fuck you still. And then, calls Carmella for 2 seconds. Carmella's got the flu. But then, off at the gas pumps, he sees some guy in a green shirt who... Oh, no, it's like a fishing vest.
Yeah, he's got a vest on, yeah. He kind of looks like... we were talking about this in the previous episode. A guy that kind of looked like Paul Reiser from Mad About You. This guy also kind of looks like Paul Reiser from Mad About You.
He looks like if Paul Reiser put on a couple prosthetics on the chin or whatever, and he drives off pretty quick, and Tony quickly gets Meadow in the car and is in pursuit of this guy.
Just really obviously, like totally, like he floors it, he's screeching around,
it's a car chase.
It's a fucking car chase, but when they pull out initially, it's like, man, what are you doing? You're like doing burnout, like it's so unsubtle. And Meadow's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and he's like, it's a nice day out. I thought I'd take us for a spin.
Yeah.
12 seconds after telling her that he's in the mafia, he's like, hey, now I'm just driving weird.
Yeah. I'm just having fun.
You made me miss our turn from all your talking, telling me to turn left.
God.
That distracted me and I turned right.
Immediately starts gaslighting her after being the most honest. And I think her feeling like asking that question was her being vulnerable, like stepping over a threshold almost. And then, straight away he's just like, oh, I'm not chasing a rat in case we need to kill him. I'm just driving really fast for no reason.
Yeah. But so they go past their motel and he pulls over because he realizes, like, what's he going to do even when if he catches up to him with Meadow in the car? So he calls Chris, tells him, hey, I'm going to call you from an outside line, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And yeah, that will obviously be followed up later. Meanwhile, Anthony's given his mum one hard-boiled egg.
And fucking orange juice spilled everywhere. I couldn't stop staring at the very first shot. He comes into frame and he's already spilling it.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. He's such a little fucking turd.
He's just clearly spoiled by, you know, the Italian mom who cooks for him all the time. But, like, you don't know how to, like, do an egg in any form.
And he's like, after I put all that work in, you're not going to eat the egg? Like, how much fucking work could this have taken? But then she gets him out of the house. He's off to some friend's house to play Nintendo. Yep. And she's alone in the house. Chris goes out in the pouring rain and gets the information off of Tony. He thinks he saw this rat from back in the day. He flipped on the mafia after he got caught dealing heroin. And to get out of like a 10-year sentence, he, spilled to the cops a bunch of information.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the witness protection program now. So Tony's like, I fucking found him.
Yeah.
We're going to kill him.
Yeah.
So he's calling Chris to get like, Chris wants to do it. He's like, I'm your soldier, blah, blah, blah. Let me do it. But he's like, no, look, we should get Paulie to do it probably because they have some, it's personal here. Some people got fucked
over. It's like his brothers got sent away or something like that. But I think, the first call, he's asked Chris to find the guys or to run the license plate. He just wants to confirm who this guy is at this point. And Chris, I think he's already like, you want me to come up? I'll get on a plane. Like, no worry about it. But at this stage, I think they're just confirming the identity of whoever this is.
That's right. And then Meadow comes out and she's like, why are you using all these fucking payphones? What's wrong with the phone in our room? And Tony's like, I'm
taking a walk.
I'm having an anti-coin collection. I'm getting rid of coins.
Trying to get
rid of them. Anyway,
you could say I'm laundering money.
Yeah. back home, Carmela gets a surprise visit from, what's his name, the priest guy?
Oh, they say it later on. It's
Jesus?
It's a funny name. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Jesus the priest is here. He's late night visiting. He was over at someone else's house and they were like, oh, Carmela's sick, but she's feeling better, so why don't you go around? He comes over wearing all his priest shit. And they've always got the collars on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're never not on.
Yeah, well, a little later, he takes a whole bunch of stuff off. Well, Father Phil Intintola.
Father Phil. So Phil's here.
Intintola is a good name. It's kind of this tinny, sort of like weak-sounding name. I don't know, like, I don't mean to be, whatever, but Intintola is I feel like it's a great name for that character.
This guy's attitude is perfectly done, too. This actor's great where he's he's smarmy, he's unlikable. And, like, to be able to make a guy who's a priest be less appealing than Tony, you know what I mean? That you are on Tony's side with this relationship here.
The inappropriateness of what's going on. Because it crosses a line. It doesn't cross the line straight away.
Yeah.
But you also get the feeling that, like, oh, that's why he's turned up. Because this was a latent thing already.
Carmela has said previously, there's nothing going on with the priest. And like Tony's kind of brought that up before. And then when when Phil shows up, she's off and fixing the hair. She's getting, you know what I mean? It seems beyond what you do with just a friend. So, priest is over and he wants to eat some ziti, which I looked up. It's that tube pasta in a pasta bake.
Oh, great. Okay.
It's delicious.
Yeah, that sounds very nice. All right.
If you're from England, it's called tube pasta. But so then, Tony and Meadow are out. They're having a talk. They're discussing like, okay, I think we've got like an honest relationship. Like, he's like, you're an adult almost. I think I am comfortable with how we are progressing to being able to share things with each other as something closer to peers rather than a parent-child relationship. It is pushing well in that direction and healthily well.
Yes, yeah. There's mutual respect. And then Meadow goes and fucks it all by saying something stupid like, I did a bunch of speed recently.
She's like, I thought we were sharing. And he's like, you just shared with me that you took a fuckload of drugs. Where'd you get them? But they kind of smooth that out as well.
I empathized with Meadow in this situation. I don't know if you had the feeling of like closer to Tony of like, what are you talking about? Like, why would you do that and tell me? I was very much like, I don't know if this is our perspective now of drugs being very normalized and some of them being literally legalized, but like, I don't know. I thought that was a nice thing for her to open up in that way.
Yeah. And I think she recognizes that Tony is, you know, had to cross some sort of threshold for him to be able to tell her about what he does. So she's trying to reciprocate that.
I guess it's literally her telling him a crime that she did in response to him telling her. Yeah, like
so,
that's, yep.
And it kind of levels out and they're...
Yes,
he's mad at first, but you know he's reacting like a big dumb dad.
Totally. For everything that we know about him, his temper, you know, his inability to deal with certain things, he takes it reasonably well.
That's as close as you're getting from him of like breaking down and crying or whatever. The ultimate thing to get from an interaction.
That's the goal. That's how you know you've won.
And then she wanders off and finds some.
Oh yeah.
Some other girls who go to this college here, and she's like, maybe I'll hang out with them. Or he goes like, why don't you hang out with them? And she's like, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm being an awkward teenager over here. That's not how you do it.
Cool. But also, I didn't think that he played this particularly uncool. He was just like, hey, why don't you hang out? Don't get drunk. I'll see you later.
Ask him about the college. So that was fine. And he also welcomes the opportunity to be able to get away from her because this is when, he goes and talks to Chris again. And it's like, I'm pretty sure it's the guy, but I'm going to deal with it.
Yes. You're not going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Back home, Carmela and the priest are talking about Buddhism and stuff. But like, he says something where he's like, he's clearly theologist type guy where he's like, I look into, you know, there are aspects of Islam that I can understand and that there are Buddhism things. There's some fantastic stuff in there. But he still calls them like... Wacky zennies or something like that.
He calls them zany zennies.
Zany zennies, that's it. So he's not.
Yeah, that's actually, before we get off the phone call with Christopher, my two favorite lines were, you're not going to become one of those zany zennies, are you? My other favorite line from this episode was, like, come on, T, you got to get me whack. You got to let me whack him. If I whack a famous rat, I'll be a cunt hair away from being made.
Yeah, and he's right.
Very good. He's right. And he's, continues to be, I think, my favorite character in this show. He's just, like, always so funny.
He's enthusiastic about crime.
He loves it.
He's a go-getter.
He's mad for it.
But, Tony's like, nah, Paulie, your pussy should do it. We had friends, blah, blah, blah. But so then Carmela and the priest are talking some more. And it's clear from her side that, because, like, he's like, I hope you don't think I'm this Yiddish word for a guy who comes around and, you know, when there's food...
Just always shows
up for that. She's like, no, you're a man. You like to eat. I see you as a man. That's how I view you. You're a man like my husband. You're a man. You know, it's very clear on both ends that there is tension here.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
It's not just him being inappropriate with Carmela. Carmela is, I think it becomes clear later in the episode, exploring it as a fantasy in her head. I don't think, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think it's him because he is safe. You know, he's a priest. Nothing's going to happen there. So she has the freedom to explore that is my impression of it.
That's definitely what I think and what I thought, you know, prior to this episode even. Because, you're right. They did mention that sort of like I think Tony joked about the flirtation before. But, I think that's exactly what this is. This is her kind of using someone who exists in her life as a benign, object of fantasy, but like represents a fantasy, a different life that she doesn't currently have.
He's the opposite to Tony, where he is pious and righteous and whatever. He's trying to do good is the way that she views it, at least.
Right.
Versus Tony, who she's like, he's going to hell and I haven't been honest for 20 years about how I feel about it. But, you know.
Yep.
And then Jennifer Melfi calls.
Oh, yeah.
To say that she's sick with the same flu as Carmela. And this is when Carmela learns that her name is Jennifer Melfi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a instigating factor in why she starts opening up about Tony and about how she feels, and like she feels.
Absolutely, it is.
Because, you know, he's lied to her about his therapist being a woman because he's afraid of what Carmela will think if he's seeing a woman. Even though nothing is happening with her, he knows that the way she views him is that he fucks every woman that
right.
he can. And so, yep. and then he also does. So it's fair enough. Like,
totally. Yeah. It happens to be like by pure chance that he isn't fucking his therapist.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. but yeah, you're right. She totally takes this as an excuse or as a push, as motivation to flay things a little looser with Father Phil.
Sends her over the edge. Makes her very frustrated with Tony, who is meanwhile looking at his prey in a hot tub.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's got a wife. You assume it's a wife. He's got a kid. Mm-hmm. The kid's up. The wife and the guy were sitting in a hot tub. It's unclear whether this family is pre or post being on the lam.
That's true.
Whether or not he would know, but like he hears something. He sees a car drive off. He knows, and it registers back at the petrol station as well. That
yeah.
you can see he thinks that was Tony Soprano or someone from New York.
Yeah.
So he's kind of onto that happening. And it goes back and forth for the rest of the episode here. So I don't know if it's best for us to sort of jump back and forth between the scenes or to just kind of go, here's where Carmela's story goes and then here's where Tony's goes.
Yeah, maybe we just follow one. So should we do Carmela's first?
Yeah, because Carmela comes up next, and there's not a ton to sort of analyze about this because, like...
It's on the surface, right? Like, it's like I said right at the start, it's like, what better way to understand someone's, you know, emotions than have them explain them to someone
right.
on screen?
She expresses everything she thinks about Tony and then also... but expresses the most frustrated and negative version of it. Like, she is right. also, and I think you see this a bit from her, you know, attitude towards Phil when they wake up. She's venting. She's right. not trapped as much as she's saying. She's
yep.
She's having a vent about this stuff because I think she thinks it on one level for sure. Like, I'm going to go to hell and this is wrong and I know it's wrong. But she is the one who is trying to save their marriage by encouraging him to go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she...
And in the exact same respect, she doesn't want to cheat on her husband with a priest.
No.
She wanted to explore that fantasy to... get those feelings off her chest.
Yeah.
But in the end, she is still committed to Tony. She does like this house. She does like the things. She likes the money. She likes the lifestyle.
That's the thing, yes. She opens up about, hey, I've made all these choices and feel bad about them. But she doesn't unmake, you know what I mean? Like, she continues to make those choices currently.
Yes. Yep.
So it's not, but she is trying to keep, the priest tries to leave at one point. She's like, no, I've got a DVD. I've got Remains of the Day, which I looked up Remains of the Day. I'd never heard of it. They play a little bit out of it. And there's like, I think it was a priest and Emma Thompson explore.
He's their butler, I think.
Right. But it's two people exploring and not,
acting out.
What's that word? Yeah. There's a word.
Not follow through.
Yeah, but when you do follow through, not culminating, it's like,
oh,
there's a word there, right?
Yeah.
Consummate can't be it, whatever it is. Who gives a shit?
Whatever.
They don't fuck in the book.
They don't fuck.
Which
they
then got made into a movie.
Yeah. But it is, and it's the exact same relationship of a wealthy, you know, high status person having these sort of dalliances without following through with a person who exists in sort of a support role, right?
Exactly.
Like
a butler and a priest, same sort of thing, where it's like,
totally,
this person is meant to be like a priest, not through being paid in the same way, but like they're meant to be in some way kind of subservient.
Yeah, exactly. Subservient and, I reckon, in both cases, desexualized.
Yes.
a butler, not explicitly like a priest, but still, you know, they're a servant, they're an employee in that situation. So, yeah, pretty good analogy to throw up on screen.
And you get to see them, you know, they're actual friends with movies. They're in a little movie club together. They both like movies. And but then, yeah, she starts sort of saying that she feels bad. This movie brings up some stuff for her. And he's like, well, you know what? You could do confession with me. I've got my little purple thing here. I've got my fucking bullshit in the car.
Yep.
Let's get honking.
Let's get back to that gabagool.
And they do that, and she's like, I haven't confessed in 4 weeks. What am I talking about? It's been 20 years. My house is full of evil, blah, 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 blah. Lays out all the Tony stuff there. And he's trying to help. He's like, look, you can maybe change Tony into a better man. Maybe that's your job. Maybe, you know, if you can't leave him, if you can't repent yourself, then you can maybe help him out by helping him repent. Because God will love you again. It's the perfect system.
That's it. Like, if you help someone repent, if you help someone else see the evil of their ways, then you are doing God's work, and that's something that, you know, you will be commended for.
So they're still not in that risky territory yet, but then
it's like a genuine vulnerable moment for her. She really opens up.
Yeah.
It is like the kind of thing where after you know, a few drinks, you open up to a friend and you're like, fuck, man, this stuff's been, you know, killing me for years now. And I just, you know, I just bottled it up inside. And that's what's happening there. That you're right. It hasn't gone into any weird territories yet.
But then he suggests, hey, we could do sacrament. And she's like, oh, not until your birthday, sir. And they, you know, they do the thing, the blood of Christ and the body of Christ and the cookie and the thing. But it is filmed in an extremely sexually charged manner.
It's so suggestive.
Yeah.
And that existing tension just rises and rises. And he fucking starts downing the wine to like, you know.
He's glugging.
He's glugging away. He's chugging and glugging because he wants to build up the confidence, right? To make that move.
I guess so, because they sort of fall asleep afterwards. Like, kind of up against each other, you know, close enough to being in each other's arms.
Yep.
They get awoken by a phone call of Anthony saying he's going to stay at his friend's house, and they get fucking close to each other before the priest Paul? Phil.
Father Phil.
Before Dr. Father Phil.
Yep.
Has to go and... empty rather than fill, because he throws the fuck up and sleeps over for the night. Because later on, Carmela's awake, she's reading a newspaper, and he wakes up sheepishly, guiltily, comes over. It's very awkward.
Yes.
They're both
from his perspective.
They both knew exactly what was going on there.
Yeah. And I think she already has resolved that within herself. She is very clear on what happened, and is very clear on how she's going to feel about it.
And I think she's upset with him pushing that boundary. Like, even if she was doing the same thing, it is still more on him than her, being that he's in the position of, I'm a priest.
And she's married. He's a we assume he's a single man. Yes, he's a priest, but they're in her house. She was sick. She's married. It is much more... You could argue it's much more inappropriate from his perspective.
But they're both kind of justifying, like, nothing happened. I guess nothing happened. Yeah. My car was in the driveway all night. Holy fuck, it's Tony Soprano's wife. But yeah, they have a very awkward, it pushed too far, and she clearly blames him, and I don't think for no reason. And that's sort of where that's left before Tony and Carmela meet up later on.
Yeah, right. She is aware of the fact that she was testing the boundaries and pushing a fantasy out to see what it would be like, but has, you know, by the end of it gone, well, I may have issues with my husband, but cheating on him is just as bad as the shit that he does. So maybe she's learned something from this experience. I don't know.
I think the thing as well that she was attracted to about this man was his sexlessness and his position yeah. of being a trustworthy and like moral figure, which is the opposite of what Tony is. And then it gets to this point where it's like, oh, you're all the same.
Yeah, yeah, true, true, true.
So
you're not this pure. No one is pure, but no. especially not this guy. So.
And he's like, last night was one of the hardest tests from God I've had. And it's like, I'm not a fucking test. Fuck you. Yeah, I don't know. That made me mad.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah. He's as much a narcissist about it as Tony is about everything else. You know, like he absolutely made it about himself and also made it a test from God to distance himself from his actions or his potential actions.
Exactly, yeah. So it's not that he did anything. It's like, oh, what I actually did was overcome something. So I actually did really good.
Totally, yep. Yeah. Great, yep. That's exactly how
he's thinking. Fuck that dude. Totally. While that was all happening, Tony's spending the night kind of hunting this dude down.
Yeah.
He goes through phone books and looks for... He's found out, like, because Chris gave him the undercover name of this, of him, the witness protection name that was attached to the license plates. And he's looking for, like, this guy owns a shop or something. I think he knows
he's
that
like
already.
He's like a travel agent or something?
So he looks at Peter's hardware first. He's looking at all these Peter places.
Yeah.
And I don't know quite why he thinks he owns a business, but whatever, he does. And there's something about he used to be called Fred, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the phone book, there's Peter's.
No, Fabian.
Right. Maybe Fred is short for that.
The initials were the same. There was something about it.
There was some
initials were like FP, and the fake name was FP, but they put it together.
Yeah, because in the phone book, there's a place called Peter's Travel, Ask for Fred. It says
right,
so there's something about that clicks in Tony's head. Yep. And while that's happening, this guy, this rat guy, is also kind of going around town and making sure that no one's looking for him.
Yeah, he talks to like a mechanic or something.
He goes to that bar that Meadow's at, and he's like, "No one's asking around about me at this bar,
that's
are they?"
Right. That's right.
So yeah, he's they're kind of a cat and mouse thing. Tony's hunting for him. He knows he's being hunted, so he's making sure that he's safe. And he figures out where Tony is.
Yes.
So Tony goes to the Peter's Travel first. He sees some Reagan bust that he must have recognized as this dude's Reagan thing.
That was from... they talk about it. Chris talks... They talk about it in, I think, the first phone call. It's meant to be a bust of Frank Sinatra. And Chris is like, he looks more like Shaquille or something. Like some, they make fun of how dumb it looks.
Right.
It's not well made.
And now it says Ronald Reagan on it or whatever.
They used to hang out and they used to know each other and they used to know that he had that in like his office or whatever.
Right.
So
Tony is like, hello, rat. He knows he's there. And then this guy heads over to the motel. He's tracking down scene and he sees M. Soprano and A. Soprano, Antonio Soprano.
Yeah.
And on like a little register thing that one of the room
maid,
cleaners
one of the maids.
Has.
Yeah.
And he hangs out there and waits, and Tony's come back with Meadow, who is drunk, and he's like, "You had a fuckload of tequila." She's like, "Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of guys bought us tequila. I'm fucked up." And he's got the gun pointed at them, but there's these two other motel guests who were over in the corner who would have seen, so he doesn't end up pulling the trigger.
Yep.
But Tony was a cunt's hair away, to borrow
That's
a
right.
phrase.
That's right. He takes, well, it's, I think later on he justifies it as you know, your daughter was there. I assumed it was a coincidence. You know, I didn't want to do anything. And it's like, well, maybe that, but maybe also there were witnesses. So I don't know how much I can believe you.
Yeah. You see him looking at these witnesses. Like, it's definitely not because Meadow was there.
Yeah.
But he tries to talk his way out of it later because, Tony talks to Chris one more time and he's like, don't send anyone. I'm going to do it. This is personal to me. And Meadow comes out again and she's like, this fucking payphone, Dad, what is going on?
Yeah.
They sort of wrap things up the next day. Him and Meadow are leaving, and the rat guy is looking at them leave, and he kind of exhales. He's like, oh, okay, maybe I'm all right. He drops her off in another college for her to go have a look at, and then tears away to go and commit the first on-screen murder. that we see him do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we've seen Chris kill the guy in the deli. We know that Chris will kill.
Yeah.
But Tony's beaten people up and whatever, but this is the first time we see him. Because, like, the rat guy's trying to hire these weird two, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I guess junkies is the word I'm going to use. Who like, will you kill a guy for me? Or else I'll tell the cops that you're buying drugs. They're like, off of you, cunt. No.
They're such a weird couple as well. Yeah. Like, they, as far as I know, never turn up in the show again. But, like, this, like, super, super old looking dude.
Yeah.
And just, like, a normal looking woman.
He looks like if Conan O'Brien fell in a volcano and then there's, like, this, yeah, pretty regular looking Brittany Murphy style woman who has one line in this show. And fuck, I wish I could, like, her acting in this particular show is that she got to come to set, look a little frazzled, and say, fuck you, fuckwad. And that's it.
I reckon there would have been a ton of people who did that on an HBO show around 1999 to 2004.
Yeah. We're allowed to say, fuck.
Fuck you, fuckwad.
So, yeah, they leave, and then he starts hearing twigs snap outside and shit. So he's going out, and a pretty tense kind of scene here.
Yep.
Looking for Tony. Sees a deer and he's like, oh, it wasn't Tony, it was a deer. And out pops Tony.
Yeah. And he says, oh dear. He's really quick.
Yeah, he's not bad at all.
But he starts begging for his life. He's like, I saw you. I was, you know, I didn't do anything. You know, I had a gun. I had a gun in the motel. I was pointing at you, but I, you know, I didn't shoot you, you know.
And Tony's like, I don't give a shit. You had an oath. You broke your oath. You're a rat. I've got a wire around your neck. I'm about to kill you.
Yeah.
So, Tony doesn't really... He didn't have a chance to talk his way out of this. Tony had made his mind up long before he got here, I think. But then, you see him choke the life out of him pretty coldly, pretty aggressively, quite scarily.
The show makes a real point of... Like, you know, the close-ups on the hand gripping the wire of, like, this is not something done lightly. This is not someone, you know, getting popped in the back of the head with a gun even. This is a man using all of his strength to choke the life out of someone who betrayed his friends and family.
Exactly. And it's like primal shit. He's like spitting and splattering, Tony is, and really gripping it. And you really see the life kind of fading out of this guy, and it's pretty full on.
Totally.
And then, he kind of cuts his hands a bit on the cable or whatever it is and then sees a flock of ducks flying away.
Yeah. Yeah.
They chuck it in there.
What did you think of that?
Bit much.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
It's a little much, but, you know, whatever. It's there.
It's interesting. This happened a couple of times where there's like a really overt thing.
Yeah.
But within the same episode... The, like, you know, confluence of storylines and the, you know, the overlapping of themes is actually really, really subtly done and or just like, you know, very deftly woven throughout. Yeah. Like, and that happens again in this episode, but they still, they'll chuck in a visual metaphor, I guess, as well.
They really throw that one there. There is one more in this episode as well that is crazy. But we'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, Tony goes and picks up Meadow after seeing these fucking ducks. He might have killed that guy by choking him out, but it's the audience who get bludgeoned over the head. So then Meadow's looking at Tony and being like, well, you've clearly been in a fight.
Yeah, this is like the most tragic scene of the whole episode, right? Because it's like she thinks and Tony thinks, you know, up until this point, to an extent, they are having a mature, you know, relationship in the way that they haven't up until now. She's growing up. They're being honest with each other. And it's clear that he's been doing something. He's been using the payphone all the time, which is obviously what you do when you don't want to be, you know, tracked or bugged by the police. He's clearly, like, he's got mud on his shoes, his hand's bleeding. It's like, you just did something.
Yeah.
And he just denies. He just denies over and over and over again. And by the end of it, you can see that all of that progress they'd made as a father and daughter has just been sapped away. And she knows that he's lying to her.
But he goes like, hey, look, we made all this progress. I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And she similarly... to Carmella, just resigns herself into buying into the fantasy a little bit, it looks like.
Right. Yeah.
He treats them, it's very much the same. It's the same dowdy pain that he's putting them through, the same sort of lies and like selfishness that he's treating both of them with.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. That Meadow at the end is there's because I feel like the alternative is to just be like, no, I'm not allowing this conversation to end until you tell me the truth, and I know you're lying. But it's definitely easier to be like, okay, all right.
I'll believe you.
Yeah.
And so he takes her to this other college, and they're sitting there. He's in the sort of waiting room while she does an interview or whatever. And there's a big sign up on a mantelpiece that says, "No man can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude." Oh, sorry, I'll read it properly. "No man can wear one face to himself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which may be true." And that's by someone called Hawthorne. Maybe Samuel Hawthorne, is that correct? No.
Nathaniel?
Someone Hawthorne. And like, to justify why it's there, this fucking kid walks past. He's like, "Yeah, he's our most famous alumni."
Yeah.
Fucking runs away. Thanks, exposition kid. Thanks for giving me some context there. But so obviously, yeah, Tony is lying to people.
Yes.
That's what that's about. Can you tell?
He's a big liar. He has one persona for some people and a different one for other people.
Exactly. And that was a quote from that college's most famous alumni. Alumnus? Alumnus.
Alumnus is a person. Alumni is a group, I think. That's that's the way that grammar works.
So then they get home. Tony and Meadow say hi to Carmella. Carmella's feeling better. And they have a little chat. Small back and forth. Tony's tired.
Yep.
The ZD's eaten.
Yeah.
And Carmella's like, "Yeah, he spent the night here." And Tony's like, "What? What the fuck do you mean? What do you mean he spent the night here?"
Carmella's like, he has another great line here. My third favorite of the episode. I wish I could remember it exactly. It's something like, "That's so fucked up, I don't even want to think about it right now."
Yeah.
It's like, all right, that's pretty intense.
And he also is, she's like, "Nothing happened, but he stayed the night. The car was in the driveway. You might hear something and get the wrong idea. He stayed the night." And he's like, "What do you mean he stayed the night? What did you guys do for 12 hours? Play Name That Pope?" Which
not bad.
I enjoyed that.
Tony is a genuinely funny guy.
He's smart.
Yeah.
He's a smart dude. We talked about the trailer for Many Saints of Newark and how that seems to be about, you know, Tony being a capable kid who doesn't apply himself, blah, blah, blah. They say all of that.
Yep.
And him getting pushed in the wrong direction. But he's not a dumb guy. He just doesn't apply any of it to introspection.
Yeah.
So they have an argument about that. And then he's like, "All right, well, I don't trust that priest. He shouldn't have spent the night over. I don't like him, blah, blah, blah." Then she's like, "Okay, hey, Jennifer Melfi called."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, hey, Carmella, I ain't fucking her.
Come." The ending of the episode feels like a sitcom.
Yeah, it really does. You get this.
The rest of it didn't. It felt like a great, you know, A and B story drama. And then it ends with a real like, "Hey, come."
But you get like these kind of reverse matching shots. There's one earlier with Carmella sitting alone at the kitchen bench looking lonely. It kind of zooms out on her or something. And then you kind of get Tony from the reverse angle also looking alone.
Right.
I think they're kind of meant to be a bit matching because, there's a whole bunch of distance between the two of them right now.
Yeah.
And he storms upstairs and the crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes fucking bananas for this episode. So you really liked it. I don't know if I didn't like it because I'd seen it before and so I just remembered it, you know. And I was sort of just like, I knew what was going to happen, where the character development ended up.
Sure.
Which I think other episodes, they have so much more plot going on. There's just a lot more to keep me engaged. But yes, I think the stuff we talked about, the sort of matching emotional plot lines of Carmella and Tony were interesting. And then, I think you're right. Like exploring the way that he lies to both Meadow and Carmella is, yeah, really, really well done in this, really yeah. interesting. It's a lot of depth in this episode.
And it can make sense how it might not be to everyone's taste this episode, because it kind of is like two bottle episodes going on. I know that they're always controversial. They're always the episodes of shows that people are like, I fucking hate The Fly and Breaking Bad or whatever.
But yeah, very true.
I do tend to like that stuff. So I enjoyed this episode, and I liked how it moved things forward. But I am interested to get back to seeing Paulie and shit again.
Sure, and Junior and all of that sort of conflict and tension and stuff. Right. Yeah, yeah, for
but,
sure.
I enjoyed watching it. I hope you enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah. If you did, give it a review on iTunes and share it around and all that stuff. You can email us at gabagoolboys@gmail.com. Got some more lovely emails from people.
That's great.
Yeah, people liking the show, people liking The Sopranos. Yeah, we're on Instagram. That's the one social media account we have specifically for the pod. It's Gabagool Pod. So we'll chuck the episodes up there, or like little posts about them. So if you want to share them, that's where they'll be. Chuck them on your story, or you know, send it to a friend. Because
get some people in and join the book club.
Yeah, exactly.
Books are for nerds.
I had a semester and a half of college. I read enough books there. But yes, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you for the next episode next week.
See you later.